Today on Real Radio.
America is a unique and amazing work of God, because we've all come together, and our moms and dads or grandmas and grandpas came to this country from all countries of the world because we believed in a very, very specific and holy ideal that we could come to this land and experience freedom and enjoy freedom and prosperity and the blessings of God. And so they came by the millions. People came to become Americans.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation that focuses on the all-important holiday we're celebrating this week. What is Thanksgiving? Is it indigenously American? Is it of Judeo-Christian origin? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Americans Remember.
And after all, regarding the separation of church and state, they imagine that's not a law. It's nothing official, but they use it. We need to have Thanksgiving removed from our public school setting. Interestingly enough, those people who are arguing for the removal of it have been found out. Quite frankly, I think it segues perfectly into this time of table talk this morning. This is not a sermon, not a lecture, not a service. If anything, I hope it will be something that will provoke you and I to honor what God has done. And so this morning, I want you to pay close attention. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that you would receive our thanks, our worship, our adoration of you, our acknowledgement of you. But Father, this morning, as we look to these facts and these features of American history, as we call it American history, more than that, it is God's history. It's your history on this continent for a purpose. So, Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, that we might be a thankful people this week and always, but this week, as Thanksgiving has been set aside. Why? Who said so? And what's it all about? Lord, teach us now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, this morning, I just want to remind you of this. I want to challenge you regarding this, what Americans remember. Can you write that down? Because maybe as we go through this time together, you'll be reminded of some things. What Americans remember. And before you go too far into this, I want to make this very clear. Please hear me out. What is it when I say what Americans remember? If you're thinking as CNN might think or some news program might try to spin, to say or to announce the word, I'm an American or Americans, people who now are even beginning to twist that as a racial statement. That is one of the most ignorant, ill-informed, stupid things that you can possibly do. There is no such DNA, race, people group, blood group as an American. As I've mentioned before, you can say that someone is of the Germanic descent. Every one of us in this room this morning has some sort of DNA, maybe from Africa, or maybe from Portugal, or maybe from some other part of the world. Maybe you've got Italian blood in you, or your Irish blood in you. Those are DNA connections. Those are fingerprints that are scientifically accurate found in your blood. You can't get away from it. I'm predominantly Portuguese, a little bit of German and English. My wife, who you just saw a moment ago, is pure Czechoslovakian, pure Slavic. But what are you? It doesn't matter. I don't mean that as an insult. But you're in America. America is a unique and amazing work of God. Because we've all come together, and our moms and dads, our grandmas and grandpas came to this country from all countries of the world because we believed in a very, very specific and holy ideal that we could come to this land and experience freedom and enjoy freedom and prosperity and the blessings of God. And so they came by the millions. People came to become Americans. In Psalm chapter 116, verse 17, Psalm 116, 17, in this week of Thanksgiving, the psalmist says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. That's the word of God to all people everywhere. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I might add, America, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. A couple of things I want you to jot down or memorize. I wish I would memorize these things. But what Americans remember, I want to just kind of provoke you this morning. Because of that, there's going to be a lot of loving sarcasm. Will you allow me that today? There'll be a lot of loving sarcasm. Number one, right here, what Americans remember is the providence of God. Is the providence of God. That's what Americans remember. You say, well, Jack, I don't remember that. Well, that's why we're having this time together this morning, that it would provoke you to remember these things. Number one, that God called for the birth of a nation. That God called for the birth of a nation. American history is under attack today on our public school grounds and in our universities and in the public square. American history is under attack today. Because of its history, America's history gives honor and glory to God. And this morning as we go through this, and I'm going to go as fast as I can because I got a lot of information with limited time, you and I will be challenged. And some of you maybe have already swallowed that secular line of thinking that God is some sort of a distant thought or memory in the hearts of the pilgrims or founding fathers or even in our nation today. But it's not true. God called for the birth of this nation. America has been the most productive, influential, involved, and compassionate nation in the history of the world. No matter what modern media has to say, whenever, and it is a fact proven, and you can test it and see, that whenever somebody in the world experiences an earthquake or a tsunami or whatever event comes against humanity, America's always the first to respond and the most generous to respond. America. Where did that ideal come from? You will see this morning that it clearly came from the Judeo-Christian values of this nation. God called this nation forth to be the most involved nation in the world. America has always been known as a liberator. You cannot look around and see how America over the last 230 years has been an expansionist type of nation. We had the opportunity to take Germany and much of Europe. We didn't do it. We had the opportunity to take Japan and Korea. We didn't do it. People need to remember that. And yet the press will spin it in other ways. Influential. America, its influence, yes, of late, it hasn't been all that good. We export more pornography than any nation in the world. America does. But it wasn't always like that. The last 50 years, we've seen America slip from our lofty place, but America was known to export Bibles to the world, and it was based upon, by the way, and funded by the national budget every year until not so long ago. In fact, they overturned that when I was a young child in school. Maybe you remember. And productive. Not only did America become the most productive nation in the world, both industrially but in agricultural means, but if you were to take one of the 50 states called California, California produced more fruit and vegetables and produce than any other place on the planet. In the world, California, in the United States of America, California. This nation produced wheat for the world. When Russia was starving to death, America fed Russia and fed China. America. God specifically gave birth to this nation. What I believe, and I've been interviewed on radio for what I'm about to tell you, I believe that God's number one reason for causing this nation to be born is because I believe that God was planning on raising up a big brother, as it were, a watchful umbrella or a hand of this nation to be a guardian over the rebirth of the nation Israel. There has been no nation on the face of the earth that has stood for God's nation, for God's people, but America. And now we hear the opening throes of America turning its back on Israel. And when that happens, look, I'm not asking you to believe in this. I'm just asking you to keep this in mind. Whenever a nation turns its back on Israel, that nation falls to pieces. And that is a historical fact. Secondly, under this point is the providence of God, is that God called for a spiritual awakening to change the world. Did you realize that America has experienced technically four great awakenings that have affected the world? From the late or the early 1700s to the late 1700s and on, America has experienced outpourings of the Holy Spirit of God that has affected the world. God desired to have this nation be a light, and America has been used by God over 300 years, even before we were an official nation, to be the defender of the Word of God and of Christianity. It's amazing. Thirdly, under this, the providence of God is that He called for a Christian witness. And again, up to about 50, 60 years ago, America was known as a Christian nation. And I bring this up because of this week's news. I don't know if this offends anybody. And, you know, sometimes the truth does offend people. But I'm telling you right now, don't listen to me. Listen to Senator John McCain, who this week in an interview announced, when asked, do you believe that the Constitution is a Christian document? John McCain, you can YouTube this. You can Google it. John McCain is in hot water this morning with a few people. Who cares? God bless John McCain for what he said. John McCain said, you cannot read the Constitution nor look at the founding fathers and their intent without concluding that this is a Christian nation. He made it very clear in citing the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the U.S. Constitution that America was founded on Christian doctrine. John McCain said it. He's being attacked for it. And I hope he doesn't back down from that. Why? Because even if John, I do not know John McCain's personal faith. But the facts are there, as you'll see this morning. And I want to read some things to you. I want to read one thing that Thomas Jefferson wrote. Thomas Jefferson said, a patriot must be a religious man. God who gave us life, gave us liberty. And again, Thomas Jefferson said, and can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed from their firm basis a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God? Thomas Jefferson. James Madison, the father, known as the father of the Constitution, declared, quote, religion is the basis of the foundation of our government. And in 1825, after the retirement of his presidency, he wrote, the belief in a God all-powerful, all-wise, and all-good is essential to the moral order of the world and the happiness of men. These are our founding fathers. Think about it. What has happened to us? On this Thanksgiving week of the year, we have gotten so far from God that we wind up apologizing for things that godly men have said. And this, as I quote to you, is America. In Psalm 144, verse 15, the Bible says, happy are the people who are in such a state, and happy are the people whose God is the Lord, says the Bible. We either go with the political correctness of our modern day, or we go with the tried and true Word of God. And every one of us, as time continues, will be brought to that place of testing. I mean every one of us. Because who stood up in Miami against this demand to get Thanksgiving out of the public place? I don't know who stood. I don't know who's standing. But as Ron Prentice was telling us about taking a stand for marriage, it's not an option. Did you know that? God will hold you and I accountable to stand for the freedom of this nation and for righteousness. We're not imposing morality on anybody. But the Bible says that marriage will be between a man and a woman. If you cannot stand for that, you will stand for nothing. You cannot declare yourself a Christian and not stand for what God clearly says. And yet we're living in those days. And I wonder if Americans remember about the providence of God. Point number two this morning, and it's not even a sermon. I keep getting all pumped up over this. I'm sorry. We're supposed to just be talking about being thankful. What Americans remember, number two, is the faithfulness of God. Americans remember the faithfulness of God. Having ordained the Pilgrims' search, God brought them here. As to their purpose for going to America, Pastor John Robinson compared the Pilgrims' vision to the exiles of the Jews during Ezra and Nehemiah's day. Known as the Pilgrims' pastor, John Robinson wrote, and I quote him, "Now as the people of God in old time were called out of Babylon, the place of their bodily bondage, and where to come to Jerusalem and their building of the Lord's temple, so we are the people of God now to go out of this spiritual Babylon to America, to a new Jerusalem for us, and there build ourselves as living stones into a spiritual house for the Lord to dwell in." Pastor John Robinson. He was the pastor of the Pilgrims. Public school teachers and professors and administrators, those of you who are community leaders, listen, we reside in this community based upon the founding of this nation. Going back to the Pilgrims, they had one pastor. You know, there was a very small group of them, you know. On that first Thanksgiving, there were only 50 of them that survived. And that Pilgrims pastor announced that the reason for their coming to America would be to honor God. And by the way, history declares that from that moment on of Pastor Robinson's speech, William Bradford began to refer to the church members as pilgrims. The Greek word for pilgrim in the New Testament means stranger, foreigner, exile, one who resides in a strange country. The word also appears in Hebrews 11:13, 1 Peter chapter 1, and 1 Peter chapter 2. But Bradford specifically recalls upon Hebrews 11, quote, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, assured them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." With their confidence in God, they prepared themselves spiritually for their departure. And Bradford continued, "But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." These are the words quoted in the documents of American history by the Pilgrims and William Bradford himself. Secondly, the faithfulness of God, having ordained the founding fathers' hope. Our founding fathers had hope of something better. John Adams and John Hancock declared in agreement on April 18th, 1775, quote, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." You guys, that's radical. You want to know why? April 18th, 1775, John Hancock and John Adams, by saying that, declared themselves in rebellion against the crown of England. What they said, are you guys listening? What they said was punishable by death. Does anybody know why John Hancock's signature on the Declaration of Independence is larger than anyone else? Anybody know? Don't be shy. Let's hear it. That's right. Both of you are right. So the king could read it, and you said that the king could read it without his glasses. That's exactly correct. Did you know that? John Hancock was the first one to sign it as an example. And he put his pen down and he announced, "There is no doubt now. And there's no turning back. We've sealed our fate." They knew that when they signed the Declaration of Independence, what you and I have absolute wonderful freedoms based upon in this country, that they signed their death sentence. And before you think these guys were just paupers, most of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were extremely wealthy people. And by the way, Thomas Jefferson, who died poor, but at the time was considered a millionaire, that even George Washington was the 10th richest man in colonial America. Benjamin Rush, a multimillionaire, the father of the American Medical Association and the public school system, he and Jefferson and Adams alike. They signed their sacred honor and their fortunes away. That's how beautiful liberty was to them. And our children are growing up in a system that they don't hear it. In fact, in my opinion, so much is being done to undermine it. John Adams said, and I quote, "The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." A founding father said Christianity. "I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and as immutable as the existence and the attributes of God. July 4th ought to be the commemoration as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to the Almighty God." John Adams, in a letter written to Abigail Adams after the Declaration of Independence was approved by Congress. These letters are treasonous against the crown of England, but they counted it worthy. He went on. John Adams said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." Maybe that's why the Constitution's fallen apart in the eyes of so many people, huh? He goes on, "It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." That is a declaration that the Constitution only works if God is alive in the hearts and the minds of men. You may or may not like what I'm about to say. You'll write me later and say, "How could I say this, that it's so politically incorrect?" And yet all I'm doing is quoting members of the Taliban who declared that the Constitution of the United States must be circumnavigated or destroyed because it is a Christian document. America doesn't believe that, but our enemy does. The Pilgrims, in a letter applying for financial assistance for this venture to America, again, Pastor Robinson and Elder Brewster expressed their reasons for their confidence in making the move to America. Number one, we believe, by the way, what you're looking at right now is the Mayflower Compact. If you know anything about the Mayflower Compact, it wasn't a very big piece of paper, but you guys, the Mayflower Compact was based upon Scripture. It was the Mayflower Compact that the Constitution was based upon. Just in the beginning, it says, "In the name of God." The Pilgrims wrote this, by the way, because they're afraid that by the time they landed on the new shores of America, that lawlessness would break out. So they needed some sort of a governing body to bring them together. Their reasons for going for America, number one, in their own words, "We verily believe and trust that the Lord is with us, unto whom and whose service we have given ourselves in many trials, and that we have graciously prospered our endeavors according to the simplicity of our hearts." Number two, "We are well weaned from the delicate milk of our mother country." That's England.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called "What Americans Remember: A Look at the True Meaning and Historicity of the Holiday We're Celebrating This Week." We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. Now, there's more than one way to get in touch with us. First of all, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.